Welcome to the Diesel Power Products Podcast, where we talk about anything and everything between owning, operating, or building a diesel pickup. We post new episodes every Wednesday.
Amber Ale?
Yeah, something like that. And we're live! What's up, guys? Ben, Diesel Power Products here with my man, Tyler.
Yes.
And it is Thursday, my dudes.
We're a little late today, but that's
all right. A little late today. We had some other stuff going on, because as much as I would love for this to be my 24-hour day job, it's not.
Yeah.
This is break time. This is fun times, because we've got some adult bevies and you hanging out with us on a Thursday.
Yeah. Happy Thursday. Tomorrow's Friday.
Heck yeah, dudes. Got to keep it clean.
Yes.
Anyhow, today it's episode 19, but today is the first part of a series that we're about to start. We're going to call it the Making Plans series.
Yes.
You know, make plans to break pants. No. This is making plans for your truck, because that can really make the biggest difference in your build. If you just go at it all mimbly-bimbly like and start throwing money and throwing parts.
Yeah, you could end up buying maybe parts twice that you didn't want to, or buying the wrong tuner that maybe wouldn't work for you later. Or whatever.
The worst case scenario, you're buying parts that don't talk to each other and you end up breaking brand new parts.
Yeah.
Trying to achieve your goal because you didn't quite do enough homework.
Yeah.
Or maybe budget-wise, you weren't quite there.
Or you just called the wrong place and they recommended the wrong stuff.
That's true.
Happens all the time.
Your buddy's friend's dog walker's buddy's tech friend's sister's retired dad was like, yeah, get 250s with a stock turbo.
Read that on a form once.
Yeah. That's incorrect. Anyhow, a little admin stuff. Thank you for tuning in. You can find us on iTunes, Google Play, SoundCloud, all of that kind of good stuff. Leave us a 5-star review, screenshot it, send it to ben@dieselpowerproducts.com or tyler@dieselpowerproducts.com. Please include podcast in the subject line, because I'll be honest with you, I've gotten a lot of these and we've been sending them out, and sometimes they get lost in my emails. Like, we get a ton of emails a day. Mm-hmm. So put podcast in there, that way I can always search it and make sure that's going to the right place.
Yeah, we sent out a lot of shirts this week.
Yeah, with handwritten notes.
Yes.
And memes.
Yes.
Love those memes. So let's talk about making plans, and we're going to answer a customer's question later on, which actually kind of relates really well to part one of making plans.
Yes.
So making plans, what's the first thing you should do if you're making plans?
Well, figure out what you want to do.
That's true. I want to buy a truck.
Yeah.
Step one.
Step
done.
One. Yeah.
I want a diesel. Good, because you should.
Yeah. I mean, first things first is figuring out what you're using it for. And what parts are going to get you there, essentially. So whether it be you're building a truck just for towing, whether you want to just sled pull, you want to just drag race, or you're just looking for more power and don't want to, maybe dive too deep into some of the parts as far as like injectors and turbos and that sort of thing. Transmissions are usually a big one. That's kind of a deal breaker. That's kind of a deal breaker for most anybody that's trying to hit some decent, I don't want to say decent power levels. I would say higher than normal power levels, I guess, but on some trucks you would need to upgrade transmission even a bump over stock. So having that plan, trying to figure out what you are trying to do with this truck, because a guy that is using his truck for towing isn't going to necessarily be the perfect build for a guy that is drag racing or sled pulling. So,
absolutely. And this actually almost kind of relates back to our Pick Your Junk episode.
Yeah.
We're trying to take you on a ride here,
yes.
On a cruise, and everything kind of works linear almost.
Yeah.
But we talked about the Pick Your Junk episode, where every truck has its thing.
Mm-hmm.
That thing should, and doesn't always have to, but probably should influence your choice. If you're someone who says, I hate suspension stuff, I don't ever want to do anything suspension-wise on my truck, I hate front-end components, get a Ford.
Yeah, or like a guy that's like, I want to build like something like Howitzer, I want to build a rig that goes off-road. Mm-hmm. You're probably not going to start with a Duramax. Because, you're going to be limited on suspension.
Yeah,
so
you're literally going to take everything, axle, right? Boom! Cut it right off, start from scratch.
Yeah. So, definitely figuring out the truck first, especially if you're, there's a lot of people that are just partial to, Cummins or Powerstroke or whatever, which, you can make any one of those trucks work for whatever you want to do. It's just, depending on what you want to do, it may be a lot more work than others, so.
Sorry. The guy's in the comments section. Ben McPherson, you're in here. He says he marked himself safe from the Alaska earthquake.
Oh, good.
Good. Glad you're safe, Ben. And Ryan Houston's watching. I saw it. Anyhow, so starting your build, having a plan.
Yes.
We talked to some of the longer conversations I've had with people, and actually some of the ones I like are actually making a plan. I've spent 40 minutes on a phone and gotten an email list together and then had that email thread go over 2 or 3 weeks.
Yeah.
And sometimes that email goes dead, And then 9 months later, like, let's do phase one right now. And that gets me. That gets me going. Yeah, it's like, dude, cool. The plan we talked about. And then 2 months later, like, phase two.
Yeah.
And that's the kind of effort I like putting into a build like that.
Yeah.
I wasn't always like that.
No.
And I should have been.
Yeah. Absolutely.
But having a spreadsheet and parts, and I'm talking every part you can think of. Yeah. You have to get new remotes for your keys. That kind of stuff. All those things add up. And when you think back to yourself, you want to make sure you keep track of that stuff. That's a good place to start. So having a plan, I think that's one of the biggest things.
Yes.
And don't write down on a cocktail napkin. Don't just talk about it. Yeah. Actually, you know, maybe get some links, get some prices, get some part numbers, and start going about that way. You never know if you don't need those parts and you start looking at them and you see, oh my goodness, on the related parts, I had no idea that, I was doing a turbo on my 7.3. I had no idea on a truck with 220,000 miles on it that I would pretty much have to be doing up pipes and probably a pedestal and probably an outlet to go along with it. That's pretty much the price of the turbo that you're adding on to it. And if you didn't know about it, you know, you could prepare for that.
Yeah, I mean, I can remember when I was even a young buck, like in my like 15-16 year old, you know, back 15-16 year old Tyler. Mm-hmm. I was really into like old school kind of, you know, hot rods and cars and that sort of thing. Like my first car was a 1963 Ford Fairlane, little two-door car. And I had huge plans for that. Mm-hmm. And I didn't really do much with Excel. So I literally had, you know, like the graph paper.
You don't have to be a genius, just write it down.
I literally would go through like a Jegs or Summit catalog and pull out all the parts that I wanted to do to the engine and everything. And I even went with my dad and went to a machine shop, and I was like, hey, here's my plans I'm doing with this engine. Can you look at this and make sure that I'm on the right track? Mm-hmm. Like, I was doing that even when I was, like, 15, 16 years old. And so everything worked. Everything worked out great. I built the engine and everything. It was awesome. So, again, having that plan and then verifying the parts, if you are questioning it, I mean, that's what we're here for. And email is magical. You make that list of parts, send it to us. We'll look at it. We'll look at what you're trying to do, and we'll make sure everything's going to be happy.
Mm-hmm. So making that plan, and that really coincides with what you're going to be using the truck for. The next thing, and I think it's going to be one of the biggest things, be realistic.
Yes.
Be realistic.
Yes.
You're not going to make 1,000 horsepower for $2,000.
No.
You're not going to make it for five. You're not going to buy a truck with 300,000 miles on it, do nothing, and drive it for the next 10 years.
Yeah.
Like, you got to be realistic. You know, even just like, I have this amount of money. I know I'm going to buy an older truck. I'm going to set aside another $5,000 for the incidentals that may happen in the next 6 months that I'm going to figure out.
Yeah.
Even just like stuff, planning for the stuff you can't plan for,
yeah,
if you will. My wife would be really proud of me right now.
Yeah, seriously.
I do not do that well.
My wife's probably going like, he does this with rigs and not anything else. What's wrong with him?
Can't even run it. Like a shopping list.
Yeah.
Like ketchup, we got 45 ketchups at home.
Oh, it doesn't work.
It doesn't work, yeah, but for truck stuff.
Yeah. Yes.
I got part numbers, like story. A prices, it's all in the same font.
Yeah.
It's great.
I can tell you the box size it's in.
Yeah. So being realistic. You know, trying to, you know, I want a 1,000 horsepower drag truck, but you know what, I got to pull my, you know, 30,000 pound camper loaded with a toy hauler and all that kind of stuff. Like,
you need two trucks.
You need two trucks, my friend.
You need two trucks.
But also, you know, staying within your wheelhouse. Like, you know, hey, I do really like sled pulling my truck, but I do actually need to tow with it a lot. Like, okay, you know, we can figure out what you need to do performance-wise to be, you know, somewhat competitive in whatever class you want to be in. Mm-hmm. But also, that truck will rip with a trailer.
Yeah.
And your drivetrain will be strong enough because you're sled pulling with it. You are literally putting your truck through a torture test.
Yeah.
and then using it. It's awesome. But so be realistic.
Yes.
You know, and that kind of goes along. Again, this might be a little bit repeating yourself, but having that plan, maybe you're thinking about a certain truck. So you start looking at parts for that truck. Maybe you're thinking about, you know, I want a common rail. And you're like, well, I know I'm going to have to do injectors. I don't want to have to pay $2,800 for injectors. Look at a 12-valve. Injectors for a 12-valve.
Less than $1,000.
Less than $1,000.
And you can get some pretty high horsepower injectors for less than $1,000.
But then that's a trade-off as well. You're getting an older truck. There may be suspension stuff that's going wrong with it.
Interior, kind of stuff. So
it's all a game of give-take. So knowing what you really want to do and having that plan and budgeting is huge.
Yes.
I think you should talk about that category right there.
Some phases?
Yes.
Yeah, so there's If you call us and you have a plan, and we know what you're trying to do, it's kind of cool because we can, and we, I love it when I do get a customer like this, is like, okay, here's my goal, here's what I'm trying to do. You know, I know there's, I need all these parts to make this happen, but I don't have everything to make,
exactly,
to buy everything right now.
Money's not growing on trees.
Money's not growing on trees. And even, it's kind of funny because we have those recipes for horsepower on our website, and we'll get customers that will look at that and go, I think that's a kit. I'm like, hey, can you quote me on that kit? It's like, well, okay, sure. Yeah, I'll quote you on that. Mm-hmm. And you look at it, it'll be like a 400 horsepower kit. It'll be like $6,000, $7,000.
Yeah.
That's a quick. I mean, even for a pretty low. Yeah, and for a pretty low power level. So we can kind of chip away at it in chunks, mm-hmm. right? So we can, if you're looking for like 700 horsepower, we can get you set up with more than likely, you know, tuning. Mm-hmm. Some of the I would call it kind of the preventative maintenance kind of parts too.
We can supporting modifications.
Yeah. So we can kind of group parts together and go, okay, phase one, you do this, you can do this tuner, you can get away with this turbo, which, you know, once you start fueling that turbo all the way, you can get it to this horsepower level. Mm-hmm. And if that's your goal, then you're done. So we can kind of group parts together to kind of make it so you're not just, you have this goal in mind and you're just kind of stockpiling parts and not able to do anything to your truck, and you get bored with it and go, I want something else.
Yeah, or you potentially do something out of order.
Yeah.
You know, let's say you are shooting for that 700 horsepower mark and you have the money for the injectors that you want to make 700, but not the turbo yet, and you put these, you know, big badass injectors in there with your stock turbo, and you start melting things down.
Yeah.
And you've now dug yourself even deeper into a hole.
Yeah.
And so that kind of stuff, that's where like calling, or just kind of trying to think things out. And you can run stuff by us, that by all means. That's what we're here for.
Yeah.
I think the only thing that's probably the most frustrating part about all of this is trying to have that proper conversation with someone who has no plan.
Yeah.
No idea.
Yeah.
And I don't mean no idea like they're an idiot. Just they could be the smartest guy in the world, just doesn't know exactly what they're trying to get out of it.
Yeah.
Doesn't know their budget. Doesn't know, like, I've even asked the guy, like, do you want to pull the engine from the truck? Well, I could, but then 5 minutes ago we're talking about you being hesitant to put a tuner on it.
Yeah,
it's like there's got to be some consistency. You know?
Yeah,
like,
for sure.
And saying things like, you know what, I'm not comfortable with my level to pull a transmission.
Yeah.
Okay, then let's make sure that when we're talking about budget, that you have money in there to take it to someone to do a transmission.
Exactly.
Or making sure that your power level stays below,
so you don't have to.
You need to do a transmission.
Yeah.
And that's all give take. Well, I want 700 horsepower, like, well, you need a transmission.
Yeah.
So you need to figure that out.
Yeah.
So that's probably one of my biggest gripes there.
Yeah.
Supporting modifications, also a big gripe. We kind of touched on that before.
Yeah.
They're not cool. They're not sexy. A lot of times they're not that fun.
Yeah.
But you got to do them.
You got
to
do them.
And our list that we include, we try to make it as comprehensive as possible.
Yes.
I'm talking like making sure that you put the gasket installation kit in when you're doing head studs or something like that, or are you doing an intake, I'm talking myself into a circle now.
Well, the lines with injectors.
Lines with injectors.
Yeah, tubes with common rail, Cummins injectors, so stuff like that.
So, and those little things, like I mentioned, they can add up quick. So speaking of adding up quick, mm-hmm. I had a question from a viewer that is actually a really good one, and it got us all thinking, and I started making a list for him.
Yeah.
And I haven't even shown the list yet, so Austin, if you're watching.
Yeah, this is pretty cool.
This is kind of what we were talking about here. And I hope I don't scare you, but these are the kind of things that you find when you start looking at that kind of stuff. So Austin emailed in, he left us a 5-star review. I sent him a shirt with a letter and a dank meme.
Yeah.
And a handwritten letter.
Handwritten note.
Basically what we talked about is he's out in Missouri. He's got about $15,000 for a truck and potentially right around $1,500 afterwards for budget to kind of like make sure things kind of gets where he wants to go.
Yeah.
He's not looking to make a ton of horsepower, you know, the 450, 500 mark.
Yeah.
Reliable, responsible. You know, I don't know. I can't remember if you said it was your first diesel or not, but I think he's a younger guy if I recall.
Yeah, looking to buy a Duramax.
And wants to get into a Duramax.
Yeah.
So if we're thinking $15,000 is your price range for a truck-ish, you're pretty much, you know, you're not going to get an LML. Let's just wipe that out. Not going to happen. Probably not going to find an LMM that's going to be worth anything. There's going to be
high mileage.
It's going to be high mileage and probably beat to crap.
Yeah.
So you're pretty much looking LVC, or LVZ, LOY, L,
If you get lucky, yeah. Or an LBZ, if you get lucky, a clean LBZ. I mean, they're starting to come down in price. But yeah. you're going to sacrifice, I mean, that's like the, you know, pre-emissions truck. So that's like the 06, 07 Cummins, like
the unicorn
yeah. truck. So those tend to be a little bit more money just because they are that pre-emissions truck. Mm-hmm. So yeah, in his question too, he kind of nailed it down too. He's kind of aiming towards an LOY, which yeah. is a great truck. We got two guys, Sands and Dustin, both have LOYs.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean.
So and part of his kind of going back and forth was, you know, he knows the LB7s have injector issues and injector line issues. So he wants to make, you know, if he's going to do that, the price has to be good enough to make sure that it can account for injectors and whatnot. So what do? We actually went on Craigslist and started looking at trucks.
Yeah.
Yeah, we got all excited. There's six of us in the roster looking at trucks. Sands is even looking at trucks in Missouri. I'm not even sure where you are in Missouri, but he started finding trucks in Missouri for your price range. And we found a couple of different ways. For me personally, I think you'd be great in an 03 to 04 LB7. Reason behind that, you get the slightly newer interior. You don't have that old like late 90s interior with all the wonky buttons and stuff.
Yeah.
It's an LB7, so fixed vane turbo. You don't have to worry about drive pressure as much as you did before. Head gaskets are still probably going to be a good idea, but not as much as like a ticking time out with a VGT turbo.
Right.
And you don't have the VGT turbo to fail on you.
Yeah.
The downsides, injectors, they're going to have to be done.
Yeah.
Lines, they're going to have to be done. And with it being an LB7, it's probably got higher mileage on it. You're coming up on 15 years for that truck. So you're probably going to find with a little bit higher mileage, but they're out there. There are guys that, you know, had that LB7 to pull their camper. It has 200 on the clock, and the interior is actually really respectably nice.
Yeah.
So I made them a parts list. I made them a parts list for an LB7, assuming that it has 175 plus, and everything is at least in good working order. So that means injectors are working, CP3 is working, transmission shifting as it should. It doesn't, you know, aside from maybe a fluid change and headlights or something like that. Like,
some stupid.
Yeah, it runs and drives fine. Obviously, I'm guilty of this too, even with my stupid, crappy Suburban I have now. It's never to my liking, and I want to change everything.
If you guys have noticed, he's added this stupid, crappy... He's added all these words in front of Suburban.
Yeah.
I still like my Suburban. Well, I like my Suburban probably maybe like 25% less. It's tried to kill me a couple times, but
yeah.
But I think it's funny that he's added that.
Yeah. Anyhow, so I broke it into some phases here, and on our list, there's always going to be, and this is kind of bleeds into that as well, there's always going to be a point on this on a build where you're going to have to take a plunge.
Yeah.
Especially if you're trying to get a higher horsepower or something like that. If it's, you know, I'd say anything sub 600, there's really not a huge plunge. You know, it's, there is, but not as much as like.
Yeah, I would say that.
As far as like stepping stones, like you can size yourself into a slightly larger turbo with your stock injectors.
Yeah.
And then move up a set of injectors and kind of work that turbo.
Totally.
The way it should be.
Yeah.
Whereas if you start getting to like a 700, 800, 900, there's going to be a plunge. There's going to be a point. I don't want to say of no return, but there's a point where like, okay, it's time to break out the checkbook.
Yeah.
You're going to have to like, you've gone through your basics.
Yeah, for sure. So Sanzo, I think would be a great person to talk about that.
Good Sansism. What was it? Every 600 horsepower build is one bent rod away from a 1,000 horsepower rig.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
He's living that dream right now.
Yeah, Sanzo was like right on that cusp. He was right there. To where if he drove his truck like a grandpa, he probably would still be driving it right now if he continued to do so. But, I mean,
it's not how we
live.
Full send all the time.
Full send. Come on. So, yeah, I mean, he was right at that kind of that tipping point where now, unfortunately, he is going in. He is doing rods. He is doing, I think he's doing pistons. I think he talked himself into doing it.
And he's doing it all right. This he's doing it all right. This truck is going to be gnarly.
Yeah, it's going to be built to handle that four-digit mark, but he says he's going to be well under, but...
And it's a manual. He's going to blow that ZF6 up.
Yeah.
And we're all going to be there to support him.
Yeah, we're all going to be there, tell him to do it.
And give him rides, and poke him till he does it. And when it blows off, we're all going to be like, okay, here we go. Teamwork.
Yeah.
So we've got phases here. First phase, and I always reserve that first phase for any truck that absolutely... Do this right now. Don't hesitate. This is the only one that I would say, it's on the clock. Get it done.
For sure.
Lift pump.
Yeah, for sure.
And everybody, you might be screaming right now, oh, injectors, like we just talked about. Yeah. This is assuming everything's working well. Yes. It is right now. And I'm not saying you're going to drive it for a million years after that, but it's at least working well. So if you could find that LB7, you know, 175 to 200,000 miles, that clean interior, 10.
Yeah.
I'd say in the 10 range in there. Yeah. Probably stock suspension, maybe stock wheels and tires.
Yeah,
but
for sure.
10. Maybe an aftermarket wheels and tires. 10 grand. So that gives you around that 5,500 to play with.
Yeah.
The scary part is the number I added up at the end once I went through and actually started adding all the stuff up, because I would have thought to myself, we could probably do that.
Yeah.
I done did it to myself. I messed up. So, phase one, lift pump.
Yes.
Trucks don't have one. You need extra filtration, extra pressure up to CP3, make sure it stays fed. And that will probably actually help your CP3 and your injectors last longer than they were already.
Yeah, it could save you some mileage too. Maybe put some extra money back in your pocket.
Yeah.
And back into your truck.
Back into your truck, yeah. And if you're one of those guys, you can hang it really low off your frame rail and let everybody know, like, it's got a lift pump, though.
Yeah. It's a sleeper.
So phase two is where the fun starts. Talk about phase two.
Yeah, phase two. So what he's got down here is we got S&B intake, MBRP exhaust, tuning, which that's when the fun begins, is when the tuning happens.
Yes.
That's
when you get that shit-eating grin.
Which, I mean, everybody knows. This is tuning on a diesel is just so freaking awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, there is no other name a rig out there other than a diesel that you can add as much horsepower with a couple presses of a button.
And you don't have to be a scientist.
And you don't have to be a scientist. Is there any other thing out there?
No, and it doesn't cost a bajillion dollars.
It doesn't cost a bajillion dollars. If that's even your number.
Beep, beep, yeah. So, load.
Yeah. And then you start getting into monitor, so an Edge Insight, which if you're looking at that 03 to 04 Duramax, guess what? You can control your EFI Live, which we would recommend with that Insight. So you get a shift on the fly tuning with a screen, which is awesome. Mm-hmm. And then he's got a rail plug on there, which whenever you're starting to add a tuner, you're starting to demand more out of your engine as far as rail pressure and that sort of thing. Usually those factory pressure relief valves don't like that. They start opening up too early, which then drops your rail pressure, your injectors aren't working properly, and then you're just leaving horsepower on the table.
Especially if that factory one is still on there, it's been on there for 175K. Yeah. You throw my rail pressure on it, it's gonna be like, I'm out.
Yeah, that's like the most common thing to fail on the fuel system. Other than the injectors, as far as when you start adding power, that's like the first thing that starts to go, okay, we may need to change. So, and a lot of people, after they do all these things, may just go, hey.
It's good enough for me.
That's good.
That's totally fine. That's one of the reasons I kind of built the phases like that right there.
Yeah, and that goes back to what we were talking about as far as, you know, doing the phases where you could do this group of parts together, which is still going to work for you for higher horsepower levels.
Yeah. And so you're not having to buy parts twice.
Yep.
You're thinking ahead, and you're buying good quality parts.
Yeah.
And if you're happy with that, just stop.
Just stop.
Is everything going to be safe after that? Can you still blow a transmission with those parts on there? Yes, you can.
100%.
Yes, you absolutely can. So driving responsibly is obviously a good thing too. And we do have transmission tuning included in that.
Yes.
But that's only going to go so far. So with that many miles on it, that's going to be one of those things, okay, later on, if I plan on beating the crap out of this truck, it's transmission time. But if you want to drive it responsibly, just wake it up with it, tow with it, that'd be a great running truck.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Now, phase three.
Yes.
Phase three is where things get interesting. Phase three for this build would be considered the plunge.
Yes.
So
for sure.
This is when, I have basically phase three, A, B, and C.
Yeah.
Can they all be done together? Should you do them all together if you can?
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. It makes the most sense to do them all together. Can you do them separately? Absolutely, you can. It'd be one of those things where if one part failed, you need to take care of that first as budget allows, go ahead, do it. Like one of those parts on there, I have a phase three, letter B as in Bravo, is a new CP3. That truck's got a lot of miles on it. Let's say your injectors are actually doing really well. Yeah. Or maybe for some reason you got lucky and the previous owner did injectors already.
Yeah.
I didn't even count.
Maybe that was the selling feature of the truck. Yeah. New fuel system.
Maybe, you know, I didn't even think about that, but maybe he already did that or she. It's 2018. Girls don't like diesels too. Yeah. Sorry, guys. Sorry, ladies. I'm going to get shot for that one.
Jeez Louise.
But it's, you know, the injectors are good, but it's just time for a CP3. Okay. You go stock CP3, running about $735, or you already have EFI Live on there. You can do the remapping on there and go with the fleece CP3K.
Yeah, because if you're looking at like a stock replacement pump, you're gonna be paying a core charge. Mm-hmm. So if it's something, well, or any reman pump, really, even a modified reman pump that has a core charge, you're gonna be, you know, well, if you want the money back, you're gonna be required to send back your old pump. Mm-hmm. So what's cool is if you kind of, I always like looking at new, because I don't like dealing with core charges. If you look
I
at
like
it, I mean,
my
seven.
Old parts.
And yeah, and you, well, and especially if you've got a part on your truck that is working fine right now, mm-hmm. you got yourself a spare.
Exactly.
You can either sell it and make some of your money back, mm-hmm. or you can just keep it just in case something happens. But Fleece has a really excellent product, even for the guy that is just doing the stock replacement, but they're CP3Ks, mm-hmm. which is a brand new replacement pump. There's no core to deal with. And if you add it up, I mean, you're 735 plus a 275 core, I mean, what, you're within... about $180 roughly.
Yeah, you're within striking distance of a brand new CP3K.
So why would you not go an extra $180 and go get the new? I mean, that me personally, I would do new. And you got the fact that you get the fuel restriction gone, you get the LBZ FCA in there, and you already have EFI live, so you can get that tuning right, you can get the remapping for the fuel tables for that, and you're off to the races.
Yeah, that'd be a great running truck.
Yeah.
I personally love CP3Ks.
Yeah.
I've been selling CP3Ks since like the late 14. I haven't had to warranty one.
Yeah, I don't think I have either.
I haven't warrantied a single Fleece CP3.
And that's, it, not only is it their build, but they, again, are starting with new parts. Mm-hmm. New. And you know what's funny? It's like, I would say probably like 10 years ago, it seems like the reman parts, so the reman price 10 years ago is like what the new part is now.
Yeah.
As far as price wise, mm-hmm. you know, because we got like new Cummins injectors that are, I would say, a fairly competitive price. I mean, they were like within, I want to say like some of them were within $100 of the remans.
Yeah.
I mean, they're a screaming deal. So I mean, anytime you can go new on anything, I would definitely recommend it.
Right. So another thing we have on here, so that was letter B. We have A, and that's the injectors.
Yes.
So let's say you do end up having to do injectors. And I went through, and we do sell a lot of different manufacturer injectors. We all have our loyalties and whatnot.
Yeah.
I decided to kind of like put myself in the mind of someone who's their first diesel.
Who's shopping. Yeah.
Who's shopping. You know, what's going to really work for me? And one of the types of injectors I think commonly get overlooked, I'm a huge fan of them, and the reason I'm a huge fan of them is, well, they're the BD Performance Plus injectors.
Yeah.
They're essentially the stock injectors with a 5% increase. So just a bump over stock, just enough to like... If you apply some tuning on them, they're going to work really well for you.
Yeah.
But they have a 2-year warranty.
Yeah. That's killer.
I don't know of any other injectors that we sell that have a 2-year warranty. Most, even like a year or 18 months.
Yeah, and even with a 2-year warranty, how many of those Performance Plus injectors have we warranted? I don't think any.
USAG.
Yeah, I mean, they're just... And that's even a reman injector, too.
It is. Yeah.
And they just do and that just goes to show you, when you have a manufacturer like that that does a reman, that you don't have those type of return rates with as far as warranty and that kind of sort of thing, you know they're building a quality part.
And the best part about that is their BD's stock replacement, they're like $200 less for the set, and there's a year warranty.
Yeah.
So you're getting a better injector... A slightly bigger output.
It's like, why would you?
And a 2-year warranty.
It's like, is this a trick?
Yeah.
What's going on here?
When you start adding up, like, I don't see how you could not do this.
Yeah, it's like, I feel like BD's losing money on this one. Like, what's... what?
So that's a big thing on there. Next thing, Alliant lines. Oh, a lot of people don't realize how much lines are going to be. You know, it's an extra $100.
Yeah.
That's an extra $540 for Alliant lines.
Yeah.
That's an injector. That's a chunk of change there.
Yeah.
Injector installation kit, $173.
Yeah.
And the PPEI tuning update.
$50.
$50. Not that big of a deal. However, when you're counting money and you're budgeting stuff, every little bit counts. Knowing when you're going to spend that extra $50, especially when you got to explain it to your wife.
Yep.
That's where...
Yeah.
That's where...
Yeah.
That will save your marriage.
Yeah. I am notorious for forgetting about like the whole mounting and balancing of tires.
Yeah.
Like when I buy tires, like, oh, that tire's going to cost me this much with these wheels. That's it. It's like, oh no, I forgot. Mounting and balancing, that's like an extra $120. Like, So, yeah, those little things, it may not seem like nothing on paper, but it adds up. You all right?
I got it.
Oh, you're right.
That was super appropriate.
Yeah.
We're all getting over the sniffles here.
Yeah, seriously. I've had like the sniffles for like 8 months.
Yeah.
So I'm sorry, guys, for you guys that are just listening, Yeah, sorry about that.
If you heard that, I just watched myself live. Yeah. I'm sorry.
Jeez Louise.
Yeah. That's the deleted right there.
Yeah.
Anyhow, so that stage is going to probably be the most expensive stage out of all of them. And then for the last one, I have head studs.
Yes.
Head studs. Can you do that when you're not doing, let's say you have to do, or you're doing the CP3. Do you have to do head studs when you do CP3? No.
No.
Do you have to do head studs when you do injectors? No. Should you do head studs while you're doing injectors because you're already in there? Absolutely.
Yeah.
Should you do a CP3 while you're already doing injectors? Absolutely.
Yeah.
Can you, again, can you do them separate? Yes. So that's kind of the stuff you got
to
look for.
Yeah, I tend to, as far as like, because everybody, well, not everybody, we'll get the call every once in a while of someone like, when should I do head studs? When is a good time for me to do it? It's like, the way I kind of look at it is, when you do a turbo, when you are going to increase the cylinder pressures inside that engine, that is a good time to make sure you got some head studs done, because you don't want to put your new turbo on and go out and have some fun, and then the first time you go, take it out and pop a head gasket because you've overpressurized the cylinder and your factory head bolts can't hang in there. So
yeah,
that's what I typically tell guys. So do it at the same time you do the turbo, not do the turbo, drive it, and do the head studs. Do the head studs, then do the turbo.
Yeah. So that. Austin, I hope that answers your question. I hope we didn't scare you off with the prices there, but I think you're not too far off.
You're not too far off.
Your head's you're in really the right not. Place. Your budget it's on the low side, but all of our budgets are on the low side.
Yeah, whose isn't?
So, I mean, you've got room to work with there, especially if this is something you're going to be doing over time. I think you're right in the wheelhouse.
And especially if you're looking at that LLY that maybe has a little bit higher mileage. Mm-hmm. Don't be scared of anything like, you know, 180, 190, oh well. I mean, that's not a huge, I mean, we're talking 20,000 miles difference from like something with one. I mean, so if you're looking at a rig, look at that one with maybe a little extra miles. And then especially if they've already gone through, because a lot of these trucks, these guys have gone through and already replaced stuff, already gone through, you know, just done injectors, just done this. So look for those deals. Look for your, it seems like every like month or so you find like one truck that's like, oh my God, that's a screaming deal. Like that is like the grandpa truck that someone just bought with stock, nothing ever been done all the maintenance to it. You know, it may have, again, a little higher mileage, but as long as everything else has been taken care of, you'll be just fine. So don't be scared of those higher mileage trucks. I think Dustin's, when he picked his up, had 180 on it.
Yeah.
And what did Sands have on his LLY?
His was lower.
His was, I think it was what, like 130?
Yeah, right.
Somewhere
there,
around there. I mean, if you find anything like 150 or less, you're doing pretty damn good.
Especially for a truck that's like older than 2002.
Yeah, that's kind of it's getting kind of rare to find that now. Don't be afraid of that higher mileage ones.
Yeah, I mean, really, I've never been too afraid of a higher mileage truck as long as it's been well taken care of.
Yeah,
I've had two trucks that were higher mileage that I bought, and both of them ended up being even higher mileage trucks that I kept afterwards, or even like kind of went with my family. A lot we'll say about a truck is the interior.
Yeah.
I never thought that until you start actually having your own vehicle for a long time. You can tell how someone takes care of a truck by the interior.
Yeah. It kind of deteriorate fast if you don't take care of them.
I've seen trucks that, you know, a 7.3, it's got 102,000 miles on it, by a guy who hunts, fishes, and works in the oil field. And the interior is completely effed.
Yeah. Well,
I wouldn't touch that thing with a 10-foot pole. And not only that, but you couldn't clean it up for the pictures.
What the hell? Real. Yeah, I've seen some that have been like, pretty clean. I still have a place in my heart for a mega cab. Like, I love mega cab trucks, especially the third gen body style. So I'm always kind of looking at them, and I've seen some that are like super clean mega cab. Blah, blah, blah. You look at them and you pull the inside pick, seats all like deflated. There's a big old rip. Yeah. This is like my biggest pet peeve is, especially on Duramaxes, is the interiors when the buttons are wore off. From like a finger touching it. I hate that.
Yeah.
I hate that.
So much.
Oh my God.
So many
you just
times.
Touched that. Why did you touch it that many times? How did that happen? Like, were you like punching it? Like, how did that happen?
Were you
right? Did you hit on your knife? Button. Like, what are you doing? Scratching on it? What are you doing? No, for real though. Like, how does that happen?
Now it makes me think is like, I had a truck that I put like 120,000 miles on. And I didn't wear out any of the buttons.
And I look at like steering wheel buttons on like Rams and like they're all wore off. Like, do you literally like sit there and do this the entire time you're driving?
Yeah.
Just wearing it out, just trying to get to the white. Yeah. That's my biggest.
I sure do hate the way these brand new buttons look.
Yeah. I just really get it. It's gonna take a year, but
Oh my god.
Maybe that's my rant. I think that's my rant for the day.
I'm gonna do a bourbon update.
Ooh, I should actually do one on mine because I've done a lot to it.
My bourbon update makes me want to shoot myself into the kneecaps. So I finally figured out why my stupid ass 5.3 half ton Suburban wasn't running right. And it was completely situational. So if you were following, I was chasing this random knocking issue. It was giving me 0300 codes, and it never went to a certain cylinder. It's always just unmetered air getting in there or somehow getting out. I don't know. It was a misfire. I brake torque tested. I replaced a whole bunch of stuff. It went to Mexico. There's certain animals in the exhaust that aren't there anymore, if that makes sense. I went and I did, you know, plugs, wires, exhaust manifold, gaskets. I did the intake manifold. I found a massive, actually, leak because I had a crappy Canon intake on there that was crimped. So I put a SMB intake on there. I think you guys were listening earlier. Thank you. So I put that on there. That actually, every time I did something, it helped. Yeah. It helped and helped and helped. I re-gapped the spark plugs. I did those. Yeah, spark plugs. I hate the fact that I have to gap spark plugs. I hate it. Anyhow, so after one long weekend of doing the exhaust manifold gaskets, and I had a whole bunch of exhaust studs broken, so I was dealing with that, and I got it all back together, and I was like, I was losing trying to pull out some studs that were broken in there, so I said, F it, just slam it back together, let's see if it works with the new gaskets, and I put it all back together, and it's still doing it. I'm ready to shoot this thing. I'm ready to drive it off a cliff.
By this time, it's nighttime.
Okay. And I'm sure my wife's in there. She's one of her other neighbors is hanging out. They're having a good time, you know, having wine with the kid. And I'm out there wanting to bang my face into a wall. And so I take it out, and I do what any good mechanic does. I take it out, and I beat the living crap out of it.
Yeah.
I brake stood it. I had a pin in first gear up a hill next to my house. I was in the parking lot brake torque testing it, like holding it like 3 grand before the tires break for like 5 minutes. I'm like, I'm going to find this problem. And if I'm not going to find it, I'm going to make it so bad that it shows itself.
There you go.
And nothing worked. So I come back and it happened worse when it was idling. So I sit there and I'm like, you know what? I'm going to clean the garage up, open the hood, looked at everything. All right, whatever. It's going to do what it's going to do.
Yeah.
So I let it idle as I'm cleaning up the garage. Clean up my garage, get everything going, take the light off. I'm like, all right, this is my life now. I guess I gotta find a new engine or get a new truck or something like that. You know, I drive a really crappy Suburban.
Yeah, I'm telling you, if I was in your shoes, it would have been left alone. You know, I'd be like, whatever, it's just gonna run like crap.
So, and all the lights are off, my work lights off. I go to shut the hood, and as I'm shutting the hood, I see a flash of light as I close it. And I'm like,
what's that?
The F? At this point, I've already had a few failure beers in me, so I'm already, a whole lot of cuss words are coming out, and I'm really interested in what's going on. So I open the hood again, and I'm looking, and I see a light flashing. And I'm like, that's not supposed to be there. I know enough to know that that's not supposed to be there. And it was the third cylinder on the driver's side. My spark plug wire was arcing against my manifold. And I'm like, okay, well, I mean, one couldn't cause that issue, right? So I shut the truck off, I pull the cable off, and I've already node tested all of them. I know all the coil packs are working. And so I pull that one off, and I realize I've had these spark plug wires on and off so many times that now the rubber boot isolator that prevents the like ceramics and everything, it's pulled out. So basically my connector, and if you guys have pulled GM plugs, you know what I'm talking about, my connector and the boot were basically flush. So I have all these plugs grounding out of my manifolds, right? Yeah. So I fixed that one, I put it back in, I'm like, oh, it's gotta be the only one, right? I go, and it's still misfiring, but it's way less. I'm like, holy crap, what's going on here? So finally I have it on, I turn all the lights off, and I go over, and there's four more doing this. And I never would have seen this if I hadn't have gotten frustrated, been working on my vehicle
until nighttime.
I went to close the hood and had the exhaust shield off of the manifold.
Yeah.
So I fixed all the I fixed all the wires, put them back in, everything, turn up, engine light instantly off. Idles like a champ. I was so happy, frustrated.
Happy, frustrated.
You probably hear me do a lot of like overly rageful things. I wanted to take my wheelie recycle bin and like throw it across the parking lot. I was so like, I did it! Oh, I did it!
Moral of the story, compression, ignition.
Yeah.
That's all I gotta say. Make your truck great again.
Yeah. And it was just, any of you watch right now, hopefully you're sharing my frustration. I'm starting to sweat a little bit thinking about it. And it's one of those things where I knew it had to be something so stupid and so basic that I just had to keep nailing down the basics until I found it. And I tell you what, I had the biggest grin when I came in, but at the same time, I almost didn't want to tell my wife what was wrong.
Yeah.
Because she would have been like,
"What? That was it?
Yeah.
Why don't you just get new plug wires?
Yeah. Why don't you get new plug wires? I did. Like, why don't you take it to a mechanic? Because I am a mechanic. Like, why couldn't you do this? I'm like, even a mechanic, if I had taken it, I would like to think this because I know GM techs.
Yeah.
And I would like to think it would be one that the only reason one of them would have checked it is because it happened to him before.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, for real.
That's it.
Yeah.
And that's my story. I hate my Suburban, but it runs great now.
Yeah. Diesel.
God, I hate my Suburban.
About them spark plugs and spark plug wires.
Anyhow.
What's that nonsense?
We need to start wrapping this up because I'm running out of beer. The cat's out of the bag. We drink beer during this episode. It's probably towards the end. We get a little warm mouth.
What we got going on the tap today?
We have beer kegs here, too.
Yeah.
today, I'm drinking Mac and Jacks.
Yes. Me as well, but you can't obviously see it. It's delicious.
Here's our beer review, Mac and Jack's. It's an African amber. I don't know what that is, but this is it. It's the only one I've ever had.
Yeah, it almost looks like a Heffy when it's in the
when
it's in there, but it is sure delicious.
Yeah, I'm still accepting beer sponsorship applications. BenedisaPowerProducts.com. We'll go ahead and get you set up here because it's really important for you to get your knowledge out with the diesel guys because they drink a lot of beer.
They do drink a lot of beer.
Because we get so freaking frustrated.
We're constantly working on things.
Yeah, it's true. And hiding
we need
in
beer
garage.
To work on things. So.
On that note, we're gonna end it here. Thank you for watching.
We got a ton of questions.
Hold on, producer, don't hit that button yet.
Yeah, Ben McPherson says fuel.
He's editing there. Fuel, air, spark, always with the spark, and that's the only reason for hard wrenching it.
Yeah, I don't know what he's talking about. What's the spark?
Yeah, by the way, I'm really excited for you to get your AEV stuff.
I don't speak gasoline,
Mike McQuilkin. Daily drives an LB7 with 600K on it.
Okay, 600K?
Oh, cheers for that.
Wow, holy moly.
Yeah.
Wow, 600K. Yeah. Send us pictures of that. We want to see that. I don't think I've ever seen a Duramax that high.
Yeah.
I've seen Cummins. I've seen Power Strokes. I haven't seen a Duramax.
How much do I bet this is a 3500 four-door?
I bet she tows all the freaking time with it.
I bet you tow all the time with it. That's the only reason
Seriously.
That's going to 600K. Other people comment in here. We got our usual suspects in here. We always appreciate you guys commenting.
Thank
we really
you.
Appreciate it. S&B, what's up? If you're still
S&B
watching,
filters.
That's not it. Ben McPherson says, rest in peace, school bus. If you guys didn't know, I did have to sell the school bus. I just talked about a Suburban. There's no way I would own a Suburban and a school bus.
Yeah.
I want to kill myself if I did. I want to find myself in the parking lot.
Yeah.
Anyhow, Austin Polston, hey man, I'm here. Oh, we answered your question.
Yes.
Right on, dude.
Hope you heard.
If not, shoot me a call tomorrow. I'll go over with you.
Yeah. Anyways, we have it all like wrote out for you here, so we can like email it to you.
Yeah.
Your whole
list. Literally have prices and everything written out for you. Anyhow, folks, thanks for watching. Check us out on iTunes, SoundCloud, Google Play. Leave a 5-star review on iTunes. Screenshot that. Send it to Ben Disapop Products or Tyler Disapop Products, and we'll send you a lovely handwritten note that'll make you feel weird, give you that upper butt crack sweat, and a T-shirt. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
That's a great T-shirt. We have really good ones. Thanks for watching. See you next week. Cheers. Thanks for tuning in. Make sure to like, comment, and subscribe. For all of your diesel performance needs, be sure to visit us at dieselpowerproducts.com.